Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.
And the first order of the day is the approval of the minutes from the July 7th, 2014 regular meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved by Bob Lynn and seconded by Nancy Strand. Is there any discussion? Hearing none.
So ordered.
There you go. Voice vote on acceptance of the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is the amendment and approval of this meeting agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Jay moved and Bob seconded to approve the meeting agenda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And the agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is public hearings and bid awards. Item A, 14-208, public hearing on proposed sales tax exemption ordinances to be referred to the voters. And before we get into the public hearing, I want to give some guidelines to the public. The purpose of the public hearing is to obtain comments from proponents and opponents regarding specific subject matter. The floor will be opened by the mayor, who will ask each speaker to provide his or her name and who they represent, and each speaker is limited to 3 minutes. Those in attendance are asked to refrain from disrupting the meeting by making noise of any kind, such as clapping. Anyone who disrupts the proceedings will be asked to leave, and in addition, please refrain from any personal attacks on others, including by name, position, organization, or position on an issue. Everyone is asked to abide by the guidelines so the public hearing process can proceed smoothly, and all who wish to speak have the opportunity to do so. And the first ordinance to consider is Ordinance 2014-12, sunsetting the senior citizens' sales tax exemption, 12-31-2019. Is there anyone that wishes to speak on this ordinance? Moving on to Ordinance 2014-13, eliminating the non-borough resident senior citizen sales tax exemption. Is there anyone who would like to address this issue? Hearing none, moving on to Item 3, Ordinance 2014-14, limiting the senior citizen sales tax exemption to groceries and to heating fuel. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on that issue? We are moving right along here with Item 4, 2014-15, increasing the sales tax exemption cap to sales over $2,000. Is there anyone that would like to address that? Please come to the podium.
Hi, Susan Flint from the Sales Tax Committee. And mostly I just wanted to remind you the recommendation from the Sales Tax Committee was to raise that from $1,200 to $1,500. We felt like that was the same as Wrangell and as Sitka. And one of the things we learned during that process was that Juneau fishing boats were filling up in Petersburg because they liked our sales tax cap. And we want to keep that happening. So I would ask you to maybe consider changing that number if you feel so, and also to support all of them going on the ballot and letting the people decide these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to that particular ordinance? Moving on to Ordinance 2014-16, number 5 on our agenda, establishing a one-year residency and physical presence requirement for purposes of obtaining a senior citizen sales tax exemption. Is there anyone that would like to speak to that ordinance? Moving on to item B, 14-209 is the public hearing on ordinance 2014-17, authorizing an ordinance to levy and collect an excise tax on all cigarettes and other tobacco products brought into the borough for sale. Is there anyone who would like to speak on that ordinance? And I should note also that that ordinance, if approved by the Assembly, will also be submitted to the voters on the October 7th election. And the last public hearing item is ordinance 2014-18, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.85, which is the Historic Preservation Commission of the Municipal Code. Is there anyone that would like to speak to that? All right. Moving on to visitors' views related to the agenda, is there anyone that would like to speak on an item relating to an agenda item? You guys are making it very easy for me tonight. Moving on to item 7, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address an item unrelated to the agenda? All right. We, to my knowledge, have no board, commission, or committee reports. moving on to the consent agenda, the items that are placed on the consent agenda are considered to be things that are non-controversial. However, if an assembly member wishes to take one of those items off, they may request to do so. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I would like to move one item off, and that would be the section related to the appraisals for next year outside of area service area 1. I'd like to have some discussion on it.
All right.
So would it be better to make the motion to approve it and discuss it, and then, or how do we do it now? Because it's not on the table to discuss.
I'm going to defer to our parliamentarian.
You can do it that way, Nancy. If you want to put your motion forward to approve the consent agenda, submit it, and then Bob can
talk about it.
Yep, okay. And amendments can be made.
So do we have a motion then?
If we need to, I'll move to accept the consent agenda as it is.
Is there a second?
For the purposes of discussion.
I have to ask Kathy a question. Can we then make a motion to change that on as part of this? Then I would second it.
So Nancy Strand.
It fails for lack of a second.
No, Bob just seconded. So Nancy, you moved and Bob seconded that we consider the consent agenda. Is there any discussion?
Yes, there is. I've looked at the, particularly the work order for outside of service area 1, and I'd like to talk a little bit about it because I've had, now that the tax notices are out, I've had at least 24 people talking to me about it. And there's some things that really bother me, that what they've shown me is that, one case for instance, they've shown me where the people on both sides of the particular parcel appealed. Both of those land values were dropped accordingly. The one in between wasn't dropped, didn't appeal. And those held as the appraiser originally put it. And I think when we go, and I understand the constraints they're under, and I think that they did a really good job this year. But I have a problem if we don't have in that work order to be able to make this consistent across the board. And that's what I'd really like to see, make sure that we have covered in the work order, and I'd relate that to both the manager and to Mike back here.
Mike.
I understand that there are...
Yeah.
I understand that there are some discrepancies, and we're aware of them also. Arnie's been keeping track of them, my assistant. And one of the things that we intend to do this year is to go through and make sure that all of those problems are taken care of. I had actually put a comment in the scope of work that we'd go back and revisit the appealed properties. But in addition to that, we'll look and make sure that that the equities are taken care of. It's an ad valorem tax, as we're all aware of, and everybody should be treated equally. And I acknowledge that there are some inequities, Bob, and we're definitely going to take care of those this year. That's one of the big portions of the things that that Arnie and I have been discussing about the work that we're going to be doing. We're going to go out in the field again and spend a lot of time out there.
Mike, or this may be Jody as well, how does the, I believe there's a process that if people find an error or potential error that happened in a previous year, they can go back and request that through our appeal process. Is that a true statement?
I have to go back and read the ordinances to define that. If there is an error, there are certain guidelines that mm-hmm. say they can go back and request us to take a look at those. On the other side is if we miss an assessment going the other way, we can go back also. So, and I apologize for not having the exact wording on the top of my head on what we can do and what we can't do. A lot of it is being limited by the Alaska statutes, and which supersede the borough code. So, but we'll definitely go back and take a look at everything.
Answer your question? Okay, let me go to my second question then. Is that when we had about 20 people come before the Board of Equalization here, there were several of these cases, because of the limited criteria, and that was my first time at it, that we could make adjustments. But I believe that those people had a legitimate reason to be here, although they didn't state it correctly. And in a couple cases, I believe it was outside of the scope of what we could have changed anyhow. Mm-hmm. I do think some of those particular ones need to be looked at. And was your intent then? I've seen that in your scope of work. Was your intent to look at that?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we'll get a hold of all those people and go look at their properties one more time, and go and meet with them, and see if and try to explain and more clearly to them justify our values or change our values if we see that there's adequate reason for it.
Okay. And my third question that they've been asking me out there, let's say for instance that we take a couple of those properties where in fact you do find, you know, there was a disparity there and that they were reduced accordingly. Their question to me is then if I come back, can I in fact come back and get the difference in my taxes that I paid from the tax notice this year to the one next year. If that makes sense in that question, is my
Bob, Mr. Lynn, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do not think because of the way that the statutes are written that once the appeal period is over with, you can't come back unless I put the house on the wrong lot or some major major error. That once the appeal period's over, it's over. But we can. But I'll have to look at that. I can present that information. I'll get it written up for you so you can see exactly what the limitations are.
And my question, I guess, part of that would be: is that by state statute or is that by our own ordinance that does that?
Our ordinances pretty much follow the state statutes. But the overall governing, whenever there's any major questions, is the state statutes.
Okay.
And it limits what I have to do, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it works both ways.
Right.
But I remember some discussion, and Bob and I both weighed in, about people who had property that was permitted on national forest land, and it was assumed that the values of those properties were higher than both Bob and I felt that was that wasn't correct.
Yeah,
and I know you researched it, but I don't know if that situation has been corrected for the folks.
No, we did research it. Arnie did all the research, talked to the Forest Service. There is value in those leases. There are certain restrictions. Mm-hmm. The restrictions limit the value. An adjustment is made so that to take that into account. And in particular, we valued the improvements and we didn't value the land, so they're getting their adjustment.
Okay.
There's no, but there is a value to those leases. Those people have the right for the full use of that property. Even
I understood that. I think we just felt that they were overvalued for
overvalued.
What they were.
We'll definitely take a look at those again. We have one person that's already talked to Arnie, and we're going to talk to them again.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to answer all the questions for everybody. You know, it's a new process for the borough, and it was the first year last year. And a part of me wished it would have gone a lot smoother, but then I look back at some of the other boroughs that we've done, and we're about the same as everybody else. Or annex areas, you know, we've done three now, where we've started from scratch.
Yeah. And I do think you folks have done a pretty credible job, and I've got a lot of compliments to Arnie and Amber for all their work they've done. From folks out.
Yeah.
So
the staff here at the borough, pardon me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the staff at the borough has been excellent to work with. And I wish that would go to all of the communities that we deal with.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to make sure that those that we have, you know, equitable appraisals out there for the land.
And I
stuff.
Do too.
Yeah.
You know, our reputation as the assessor for you or for Wrangell rests on us doing a good job and making sure everybody's treated equally. And that's one of our goals.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that satisfy your questions? Can we vote out of order on this, Kathy? Does that mess you up?
No, you can vote right now if you
okay.
want. If you're ready to call the question, this is as it was submitted.
I will call the question for item, it's actually item B, 14-215, authorization to execute the professional services agreements with Appraisal Company of Alaska to perform the tax year 2015 property assessment function. Will the clerk call the roll?
Madam Mayor.
Nope.
Isn't there more on the consent agenda than just that? I think Nancy's motion was for the whole agenda.
For the whole agenda.
Okay. Yeah. It was.
I'm sorry.
Is there any discussion on the first item?
It's a consent agenda.
All right. Then will the clerk call the roll, including item 14-212, approval of the July 7th, 2014 change order request with Professional Computer Systems Company for 4 new computer servers at the cost of $39,000. The servers are to replace 4 servers currently running on Windows 2003 with support ending July 2015. The Assembly did approve $47,000 in expenses for servers in the FY 2015 budget. So we are voting on item A and item B.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thanks.
And the motion passes. Moving on to report of other officers. I don't believe there are any. And then we have the mayor's report, which just has 2 items on it. The first item is about the Southeast Transportation Plan. The Alaska Department of Transportation will be conducting a public meeting on the plan Wednesday, August 13th. That will be here in Assembly Chambers. The public meeting will consist of an open house from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. From 6:30 until 7:15, there will be a presentation and overview of the draft plan. And from 7:15 to 8:30, a question and answer session will be held. And I would encourage folks to look at the plan. It's available online on the DOT website. I believe the borough has a copy, and if you email DOT, they will also send you a copy. The borough staff is working on a draft comment letter to the plan that will be presented to the Assembly at the August 4th Assembly meeting. Once accepted as the Assembly's position on the plan, the letter will be presented to DOT as well as other Southeast communities. And the concern there is the plan actually comes out and states that DOT is anticipating taking resources away from Southeast Alaska and shifting that to transportation options elsewhere in the state, primarily in the Anchorage area. So I think it's worth taking a look at. The second item is an item thanks and appreciation. Thank you to the following residents who have stepped forward to work on at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election: Bev Richardson, Kathy Harris, Erica Warhatch, Mary Leonard, and Pat Hickman. Your service is greatly appreciated. So thank you to those folks for stepping forward. Moving on to unfinished business, we have ordinances for second reading. I somehow managed to miss your manager's report.
That's
every
okay.
time. Go right ahead.
Can we...
Somebody on there?
Somebody came on.
Is somebody on or did we lose Kurt?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. John, were you able to call in? Okay. Just Kurt.
Police have noticed, and through some various reports, we've seen increased littering everywhere from Sandy Beach out on Frederick Point Road. We've assigned additional officers to kind of do a more regular patrol out there to try to keep that in line. We have a meeting with the architectural firm starting tomorrow. He comes in on the morning jet. He'll be here all the way through Wednesday. We'll focus on the admin portion tomorrow once he gets here, and then the police, basically, he'll be with Kelly most of the day tomorrow to work on that. Officer Williams is back from maternity leave. She and the baby are doing really well, and we're definitely happy to have her back, getting back to full staff. We noticed Mike and Arnie arrived Friday of last week, or Arnie did, and they'll be here for about 4 weeks, give or take, starting the assessment process. Borough, we have started the foreclosure process for the unpaid 2013 property taxes, so any of you that who might affect, talk to Jody. One of the things that it's kind of an ongoing issue is our utility bills, and we've asked PCS to modify them. Currently, anytime there's a miscellaneous charge where there's more than one charge coming from the same cost center, he gets lumped together on the bill. And so therefore, when people get the bill, they're not exactly sure what it's for. We've asked PCS to go ahead and break that out so that while it does cost us some postage in some cases where there's multiple pages to the bill, we think it'll cut down on some of the phone calls with people who call who are confused by charges on their bill. So again, trying to itemize more on those issues. PIA is working two different concrete crews to finish up some outstanding items on North Nordic, on the ADA ramps, and almost completed with the rebuild of the 5th Street sidewalks at the elementary school. They're planning to continue the work on Dolphin Street, and if time and money allows, they'll be able to rehab the 3rd Street sidewalks to their work schedule this season. We're not sure about that last part. Justin Haley and his crew in Public Works were able to research the condition of the Hog and Drive manholes in advance of the paving project that looks like it's going to take place next year. It's important for us to have an idea if we have to rebuild any of those or do repairs to them prior to the construction. We did find two manholes that are going to need to be replaced or not major rehabilitation work. And there is some fixes we'll have to do to the remaining manholes. Should be a minimal cost, and we'll work with Alaska DOT to include that in the project as that gets closer. Dwayne Powers is working with Alaska DEC on the new discharge permit for our sludge lagoon at the water treatment plant. We're having a problem meeting the allowable discharge levels for aluminum, but ADEC is... seemingly willing to work with us at this point, since we seem to be the only utility in the state that discharges into freshwater stream. More information to come. It's just kind of just an FYI. Currently, the discharge limit is lower than the naturally occurring levels of aluminum in City Creek, but it's an issue with how their permits read, and we'll work through that. Recycling program. Overall, the recycling rate for baled waste versus recyclables is at 28%. Community is on track to cut approximately 300 tons from its annual solid waste shipments in 2014. Our recycling goals, as stated in the original ordinance, have us achieving a 30% rate by January 1st of 17, a 40% rate by January 1st of 19, and a 50% rate by January 1st of 21. So we're heading in the right direction. We do have some more work to do. Areas that we can better work on would be some of the industrial customers and trying to find ways for them to recycle more of their disposable production materials, further development of the commercial recycling, and a better system of public recycling receptacles, and you know, possibly, if we have to get to that point, mandatory residential recycling, although we're a long ways away from having to do that. And you know, we do have some work to do on the public education process. A lot of people just don't necessarily know what they can recycle and what they can't. So our new grader should be here pretty soon. The manufacturer actually sent us a simulator that the guys can practice on for the controls, since it's all brand new and is not the kind of controls they're used to working on. The operators and mechanics have been spending some time getting accustomed to that, so that when the machine gets here, they'll be a little more up to speed. The North End Ferry Authority is still working on a proposal to commence ferry service to South Mitkoff. This is the rainforest ferry you might hear about. Kent Miller will be seeking an assembly agenda appearance sometime in August to see if he can get support from the assembly to use the Banana Point launch ramp while waiting for potential changes to the South Mitkoff ferry terminal to work its way through ADOT. We're not sure exactly if that's going to happen. ADOT is not necessarily in favor of this, so we'll see how that goes. Chamber of Commerce roof replacement is in progress, or are they still working?
It's essentially completed. When the contractor walked down the street and looked back at the siding, he was not happy with the look of the material. The vendor gave a smaller gauge metal than he had actually ordered. So he has ordered the heavier gauge metal and plans to put that on the side of the building, and that will be completed.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you. We've received proposals from five firms on the comp plan and harbor development plan. The selection committee will be reviewing the proposals and meeting to discuss a recommendation to the assembly at the second meeting in August. Reason for that is, number one, they're large documents, and we want to make sure the team has a chance to really read through them. The other is, I think in some cases we've got some questions to go back to them to kind of better define, in some cases, what their proposal says on certain items, and it is complex. So, should second meeting in August, we should have it in front of you with some kind of a recommendation. The North Harbor skiff float warranty work was completed by Western Dock and Bridge prior to the -4 tides over the weekend. The fix seemed to take the extreme tides in good shape. If you remember, it was one of the issues we were having with the new construction was that the rails on the, as it was going up and down with the tides, was tearing up the floats. So we wanted that fixed, and it is. They agreed it was a warranty issue. Extreme low tide did some damage Sunday morning at the launch ramp float when a random chunk of piling floated in and lodged itself under one of the float sections and punched through the styrofoam billets and the deck covering boards. Staff was able to pull it free and patch the hole. Tamiko will order extra covering sheets in conjunction with the new fish cleaning station to allow the harbor maintenance folks to get things back in order. That's on us. That's just an accident. Something floated into the harbor. Tamiko is back on resuming demo work. If you haven't seen, on the old Union oil dock is scheduled. They're scheduled to begin driving piling at the drive down approach by the end of this month, so just in a few days. The roofing for the Sandy Beach shelter is underway. Our maintenance staff was going to start last week, but some folks forgot about Little League, and several of them were off to a tournament. So they are back off vacation and started on that. We expect it to take a week or so to complete, and once that is completed, the shelter will actually be open for public use during the weekends and evenings. A little extra work on our part, but the community deserves that. And then we'll do our finish-up work during the Monday through Friday during the day. Kind of a report that came to us through the RFP process. Recent analysis of the Petersburg Borough's demographic trends made by the Alaska Department of Labor noted the percentage of seniors over 65 will grow from around 13% to around 27% by 2027. In light of some of the votes the Assembly has to take, this is one of the issues that we're concerned about. And the repairs with the Scow Bay ramp are about 50% complete. We staged the repairs to do only one side of the ramp at a time, so Mr. Murgis and folks could continue to use the ramp, and it could be available to the public. One side complete, and the other should be getting underway shortly and shouldn't take them too long. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Does anybody have any questions? I actually have a couple. One is about... you talked about increased littering. I have seen some, and I've been approached about some, and I've heard some conversation on Facebook about spray painting and tagging that's happening in the community. There are some concerns from the public. Whose responsibility is that when that happens on a private business or building? Is that something that the borough will help correct, or is the private individual or business responsible for cleaning that up?
I can answer that. Unfortunately, if it's on private property, it's the private owner that is responsible for any cleanup. Borough is responsible for any borough property, and you are correct. We've seen some. There's some stuff down at Eagle's Roost that's been there for a while, but it's getting worse. People have added on to it. Carl's trying to work on a plan to how to fix it, because it's not necessarily in an easy-to-access place, from what I understand. Just trying to keep an eye on it. We don't have security cameras at this point at every location, but unfortunately, it may come to some of that.
The other comment was about recycling, and I know we've had a number of recreational boaters and liveaboards, and even the small cruise lines are asking about having recycling available to them in the harbor, and. I was surprised at how many folks that are traveling through ask for that specifically. They come from communities where they're used to recycling, and they're looking for that here. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Carl, can you have anything to say to that one?
Well, I think that's an area that we need to improve on, that we don't have any plans in place at this very moment to do that, but I will be getting with the Harbor Master and trying to sort that out. It'll take time, but we'll get there. Right presently, for anybody that does come through the harbor and wants to recycle, the Harbor Master does have blue bags in their office. They can get a bag and fill it up and bring it back to the office, and it'll be collected by our contractor.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Moving on to unfinished business, we have ordinances for a second reading. The first item is Ordinance 14-12A, an ordinance limiting senior citizen sales tax exemption to those who have obtained and maintained an exemption based on a qualifying application submitted by December 31st, 2019. The ordinance, if passed by the Assembly, will be presented to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 election. If approved by the voters, no senior exemption cards would be issued after December 31st, 2019. Do I have a motion to consider this ordinance?
I so move.
Second.
Nancy moved and Jay seconded approval of Ordinance 2014-12. Is there any discussion?
If I may?
Mm-hmm.
I will choose to be a broken record and give my same feedback I've given for a couple of weeks that applies to this ordinance and all the other ones around this issue. As a citizen, I don't think I'll vote for some of these, but as an assembly person, I will definitely vote for it because I think it is up to the voters to decide whether they want these. It's up to the voters to make their own decision. I don't want to be deciding for the community, so I will be supporting all of these measures. That's all.
And I'm in total agreement. I don't want to disenfranchise my constituency by not allowing them the opportunity to vote on these.
Anyone else? And I guess my only concern with this particular ordinance is that it sets up two classes of people and a very arbitrary date, and that to me doesn't seem entirely fair. So I will not be voting for it. If there's no other discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
No.
Bob?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
So we have 3 yes, 2 no, and the ordinance fails. Moving on to item B, ordinance 14-13, an ordinance eliminating the senior citizen sales tax exemption applicable to non-borough state residents. If passed by the assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion to consider this ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Jay moved and Bob seconded to consider ordinance 2014-13. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And the ordinance passes in second.
Hello.
Oh. Did we not call you?
Was that Kurt?
No, that was not me. That was somebody else. It sounded like maybe John.
Who else is on? I'm sorry.
John, are you on the line? Because we have enough votes to pass that, I'll move on to the next item.
Wait a minute. Was he there for the first vote? We need to find out if he was there.
He hasn't. We've asked for him several times, and he's not responded.
But somebody said something, and Kurt said it wasn't him.
I understand, but he's not responding now. John? Moving on to item C, ordinance 14-14, an ordinance limiting the senior citizen sales tax exemption to the purchase of groceries and residential heating fuel. If passed by the assembly, this ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll second it.
Jay moved and Nancy seconded to vote on ordinance 2014-14. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
John is not there. Kurt.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes. And that motion passes. Moving on to ordinance 14-15, an ordinance raising the sales tax exemption cap from $1,200 to $2,000. If passed by the assembly, the ordinance would be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy and seconded by Bob to approve ordinance 2014-15. Is there any discussion?
I would just like to point out that in Juneau, the tax cap is $7,500, so I suspect there will be still a large number of Juneau boats filling up here, even with the $2,000 tax cap.
Any further discussion?
This is Kurt here. Pertaining to fuel, I don't think there's an exemption for fuel in Juneau. I've put on a considerable amount of fuel before in June of over $15,000 worth, and I had to pay full boat off on the whole thing. So, anyway, I think we tried this once before, and I think from 1,200 to 1,500 or whatever it was when we had to push back, I just don't know if this would fly with a $2,000 tag on there. I would just assume that, you know, just 1,500 like the sales tax committee recommended, that if it's the will of the council to stick with the 2,000, you're not going to get any, I'll vote for it anyway.
So are you offering an amendment, or should we move forward?
Well, I would like to offer an amendment that we change it back to the what the sales tax exemption committee discussed at 1,500. I know this just might be semantics, but it was their recommendation that they did put a lot of work into this, and I think we should support them in that.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Kurt moved and Jay seconded that we amend the ordinance to change the amount of the exemption from 1,200 to 1,500 instead of 2,000. Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
I'd like to know, how many votes did it fail by before the first time we...
Two
votes, and I think with a little education it would pass with the 2,000, but two votes isn't very many.
Anyone else? All right, we're voting on the amendment to raise the tax exemption cap to $1,500. Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
No.
And the ordinance fails. So going back to the original ordinance, raising the sales tax exemption cap from 1,200 to 2,000, we had a first by Nancy and a second by Bob to vote on this ordinance. Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
And that that motion passes. Moving on to item E, ordinance 14-16, an ordinance establishing a one-year residency and physical presence requirement for purposes of obtaining a senior citizen sales tax exemption. And if this passes the assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. Do I have a motion to approve?
I so move.
Second.
Nancy Strand moves and Jay Stanton Grecker seconds to approve ordinance 2014-16. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And that ordinance passes. Item F, ordinance 14-17, an ordinance providing to impose an excise tax on cigarettes and other tobacco products. If approved by the Assembly, the ordinance will be referred to the voters at the October 7th, 2014 municipal election. If approved by the voters, a whole excise tax of $2 per pack of cigarettes, plus an annual consumer price index adjustment, and 45% of the wholesale price on other tobacco products will be placed on those products that are brought into the borough to be offered for sale. And in the previous assembly meeting, we noted that will include electronic cigarettes as well. Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Nancy moved and Jay seconded to approve the ordinance. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And that ordinance passes. And the last ordinance for consideration is Ordinance 2014-18, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.85, Historic Preservation of the Municipal Code, and providing for an appointed advisory commission. At the June 2nd meeting, the Assembly was presented with a petition signed by 50 borough residents requesting that their prior City Ordinance Number 827 be readopted as a borough ordinance. The supporters of the petition informed the ordinance would promote and enhance knowledge of the history of Petersburg. The ordinance was amended on July 7th to provide for the dissolution of the Historic Preservation Commission if it fails to meet within any two-year period. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Jay Stanton Greger and seconded by Bob Lynn to approve Ordinance 2014-18. Is there any discussion?
Yes. On that, the last time I offered an amendment or a motion to that on the commission to for dissolution of it, and that's been put into here, but it goes not quite as strong as what I was hoping for. I was hoping it would read a little bit from where it is and read the commission will be dissolved if there are no meetings of the commission within a period of 2 years. Or within any two-year period. So what I would do is just leave out may be dissolved by assembly action or assembly resolution.
Can I have a point of clarification, Madam Mayor? So what, if I'm hearing you right, Member Lynn, by changing commission maybe to will be, more or less removing us to have any take any action instead of having a discussion, a vote more or less if it should be dissolved, putting it, writing it in there that if nothing happens in 2 years, just it's done, or more or less without assembly action. Is that what I'm getting from you?
Yes, just dissolves the commission.
Roger, thank you for clarification.
Can we just amend the wording, or do we?
We can make a motion to amend it.
Okay.
Okay, I'd so move to amend it to that.
Second.
And then vote on the amendment?
Yes.
Or just
yes.
Move on the whole thing? Okay.
On the amendment.
So we're voting on the amendment to change the language from may to will dissolve.
Will be dissolved,
will
yes.
Be dissolved if it fails to meet.
Can I read it real quick, just make sure we got it right?
Sure.
The commission will be dissolved if there are no meetings of the commission within any two-year period.
Yes.
Okay.
Will the clerk call the roll?
This is on the amendment.
This
Kurt?
Is?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes.
And the amendment passes, going back to the original ordinance. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes.
And we have approved the motion, the ordinance for establishing a Historic Preservation Commission. Item H14-2014 is authorization for the borough manager to execute the assignment and assumption agreement between Southeast Alaska Power Agency, Petersburg Borough, the City and Borough of Wrangell, and Thomas Bay Power Authority for the transition of operations and maintenance of the Tyee Lake facility. At the time of the preparing of this meeting agenda, the final attorney approved agreement had not yet been received. It is staff's intent to move forward the final document to the Assembly as soon as it's received so action can be taken at this meeting. And do we need to vote on this again? I think this is just an information item?
No.
Or do we need to vote on this again?
This is, if I may, the committee assigned by the Assembly, which is myself, Mayor Jensen, Jeff J. Bush in Wrangell met to come up with the framework for this. We worked with SEPA CEO Trey Atkinson and came up with a real good agreement. Then we spent the better part of the time letting three attorneys, one from each organization, hammer out the details. That was completed this weekend, I think. I think we got the final document late. And we've gone through it. All three communities, the two communities in the SEPA organization are very happy with how it turned out and recommending that it be approved. What this will do will set the stage for Thomas Bay Power Commission being disbanded, the employees transitioning to SEPA, and moving on from there.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Jay and seconded by Nancy to approve 14-214, authorization for the borough manager to execute the transition between Southeast Alaska Power Agency, Borough of Petersburg City and Borough of Rango, and Thomas Bay Power Authority for the transition of operations and maintenance of the Tyee Lake facility. Is there any further discussion?
Yes, I have a number of questions for Steve. I finally got to read it after this afternoon. I've stolen everything I read. But can you talk generically a little bit about the costs to the boroughs of if we execute that agreement, particularly with the employees and what you see?
Okay. There's a couple of things related to costs here. The first is currently both Wrangell and Petersburg pay a roughly $55,000 each towards Thomas Bay for towards some of their payroll. Those are part of what's called the non-net billable hours. Those two employees were the Thomas Bay Power Commission secretary and their general manager, both of who have resigned and have moved on. The remaining Thomas Bay employees actually are the operators, the folks who work up at Tyee who will be transitioning to SEPA. The costs in to both Wrangell and Petersburg, or the concern of the cost, was primarily related around PERS, which is the state's retirement plan, which all of these employees are in. They will not be in it when they transition to SEPA, and instead they'll be in the IBEW plan. So there was some serious concern in canceling the PERS liability, what that would mean to the two communities if this went through. SEPA has, there's two different PERS payments that have to be made. One is an upfront payment. It's basically a lump sum payment. The second is an annual payment that is paid to the state that's calculated every year by the state and so you don't know in advance what that number is going to be. And that will go on to basic for, not in perpetuity, but for the length of time the state feels is necessary until the any unfunded mandate associated with those two employees is paid off.
And that's where you came up with the 2030 date or something?
Well,
like
actually,
that?
That came out of here. SEPA agreed to, originally they were going to pay a lump sum payment plus another lump sum payment based on that 32% and then present value of that. So the two communities would have to share a cost associated, invest that, hold on to it. That was a bit problematic for us. We didn't really want to do that, primarily because you don't exactly know, there's no guarantee from the state that that 32% won't become 35% or something else could happen.
Right.
SEPA agreed to, instead of giving us that lump sum payment, just to pay it. So the bill will come. It'll come to Petersburg and Wrangell. We will give the bill to SEPA. SEPA will pay that bill. So no lump sum money for us to have to invest between the two communities. SEPA will take full responsibility for that until it ceases to be an issue.
So. Yeah, I missed that part of it.
Not
thank
a problem.
You.
That was one of the things that took some work. SEPA was very gracious. I mean, they decided, yeah, that makes more sense and is easier for everybody to calculate.
Yeah, and I thought the crew did a really good job on it with what I read, Steve.
Thank you.
And in terms of cost, too, we no longer would be paying the $55,000 for operations.
And maybe longer term, and you know, you can ask Joe if he has a different take on it, but the real value may be in the longer is the efficiency factor that the folks operating Tyee are now reporting to the people producing the power, and decisions can be made easier, quicker, and without having to go through different boards that are unwieldy at best.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, Mr. Manager, I guess my only question for you would be, what, if any, concerns do you have about approving this at this time?
I don't have any. I mean, this is... early on, we were worried about the PERS issue because
yep.
we were not sure if SEPA would agree to that. They did. We had some issues related to the two employees frankly, we just weren't sure what was going to happen and what their plans were. That has worked itself off. They've both resigned and gone on to the rest of their lives. So that seems to be working out really well. It's a great agreement for Petersburg and Wrangell in the sense of it doesn't cost us anything, and we are out from under a potential very large PERS liability. SEPA had the right, maybe I should have started off that way, SEPA had the right to cancel the contract regardless, and they'd given notice. So, in a sense, SEPA could have just said, fine, they're your problem, and PERS is your problem. They obviously didn't want to make enemies of Petersburg and Wrangell, and took on this liability, and that was the big cost factor for Petersburg and Wrangell both, was if we would have had to continue to pay that PERS liability. It's no longer a liability for the two communities.
Most excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joe, did you have anything
to add? One point of clarification. The two employees that work for Thomas Bay Power Authority, the secretary was laid off and the manager was terminated.
Thank you.
All right. Will the clerk call the roll to authorize the borough manager to execute and assign the agreement between all of the entities that we listed before?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And that motion passes. Moving on to the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg Borough boundaries. There's been a motion for stay by the City and Borough of Juneau of the court's decision affirming affirming the Local Boundary Commission's decision to approve our annexation to City and Borough of Petersburg. And they're also requesting a stay of the court's order granting attorney's fees. And I don't know where we stand other than we're in a holding pattern at this point.
I'll use the words of our attorney, which was he's not exactly sure what Juneau is trying to accomplish, nor what to think of next. During the Superior Court process, Petersburg and the Local Boundary Commission, particularly Petersburg, wanted made the argument that it would be not to anyone's benefit to go backwards because Petersburg had invested a lot of time and effort and money into forming a borough. So ordinances like what you're voting on, mapping, assessment, all of this has gone on. The Superior Court judge says, not an issue. I'm not going to include that in the decision. So it then ruled in Petersburg in the Local Boundary Commission's favor on the case, merits of the case. Juneau now is bringing our original argument back, saying Petersburg should be told, stop forming a borough. We're not exactly sure. It's well after the date. Jim Brennan is trying to get some clarification from the state on what, if anything, they expect us to do at this point. We just don't know. I don't know that this has been scheduled for the Alaska Supreme Court yet, which is where it's going. And we don't actually really know what Juneau is trying to accomplish with this request for a stay. Wish I could give better information.
All right, so that's just an information point. Moving on to new business, We have Ordinance 14-19, an ordinance providing for Chapter 14.16, entitled Electricity, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation, and providing for rate restructuring and increases. Is there a motion to consider?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy and seconded by Bob to approve this ordinance. Is there any discussion?
I have a number of questions for Joe. Just
go ahead.
One of them, just out of curiosity, when they looked at your in there, when you talked about utility extensions up to 100 feet, anything over that would be additional cost. How did you arrive, just out of curiosity, at 100 feet?
The 100 feet was in place before my time here, before I came here, and we looked at it in relationship to what the rest of the industry is doing, and it's right in that ballpark. Some folks say 75 feet, some people say 150 feet, but what it does is on the very small extensions, it kind of lumps them so that if the extension is only 25 feet, for instance, we have a new service that's virtually right below one of our poles. On the standard fee, we probably make a little money on that. On the one that's at 100 feet, or slightly over, we charge for 100 feet. We're probably losing a little bit there. So it's an effort to simplify, and on the very small extensions to just kind of group them into one. But there's nothing magical about 100 feet. It could be 150. It could be 75.
Okay. Second question for you is, in there you talk about if a customer, let's say you have a customer, for sake of example, they're at 8 Mile right now, and they decide to move into service area one. They just change services. And what I see in there is that there's a minimum of a $25 fee to make that change because they shut off one and start another one. Is that, am I catching that correctly?
Fee. Yeah, I think that's called a transfer fee.
Okay, what happens if, say for instance, I'll just use, let's say that that I'm moving from out there in here and we just make an agreement that the person would just pay the bill, then there's no transfer fee? If I come into your office and say, you know, put this in
my name. So the utilities would stay in your name out there?
No, let's say we just paid the bill. I come in 1 month. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to read meters or anything else. And just say, you know, just put this in my name now.
No, they would still have to go out and read the meter.
That one doesn't make sense to me, but
I'm trying to understand. What are you saying? You would continue to assume a liability for someone else's property?
No, let's say that you and I agreed to you were going to sell, and I bought your property. Our agreement was that you were moving out, I'd move in, I'd just pay, or we'd just split it, but we wouldn't say we'd just continue with the electric bill. Next month, I walk into the office and say, just put this in my name. I've seen it happen. That's why I'm asking the question. I don't mean to stump you, but I'll move on and think about it because I have a couple other questions for you. Now let me go to the next one, which now we're a borough. We have people that are paying taxes, and they have, let's say some people live off grid and they live out there in Thomas Bay someplace, and they come across and decide they're going to buy a place in here. Now we come and Joe's going to provide service, you know, they do all this, they transfer it, they bought the property and so forth. But now, by our rules, we have to collect, you know, they have to put down $150 payment to, you know, because they haven't been a user of electricity in the borough before. Okay, what I'm getting at is that the person's already been paying you know, taxes in the borough. They're up to date. They've been there for a while, but yet now we're assuming they're a new utility customer. They're still a borough resident. They're still a borough. Why do we want to charge or have them put $150 down that they have to keep on keep on an account for a couple years or whatever? I don't remember the time period. That's a question I have. Is why are we not if we're going to be a borough, then, and if we're paying taxes, and these people are off the grid and paying taxes, or for that matter, move one place or another, why are we requiring them to put put money on account to pay the electric bill in case they fail to pay? Because they've all, you know, their record's there. I would say the same thing if we're charging on utilities or on waste too, garbage and stuff. Just it's a rhetorical question, but I'm.
Well, you have to remember that the electric fund is an enterprise fund,
that's
so
correct.
They need to act like a separate business. And so, because you're talking about taxes, it's completely different. That's with the general fund. When they do pay their deposit, if they make timely payments for a year, that money will get applied back to their account.
I read that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean to pick on Joe here, because I see that as I think we need to look at things differently if we're going to be a true borough. That's my only point here.
If I may, I mean, just because I just went through this, I've been in the borough for 3 years now. I was living on Sandy Beach Road, moved up to Severson's. AP&T charged me a fee just to move the phone line.
Did you have AP&T before?
Yep.
Okay.
So just as an example, so what I'm saying is it's pretty standard in the utility industry. What Jody's referring to as a security deposit, and
yes,
you know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you wouldn't think it, but I mean, Jody, how many people a month are we looking at on your bad debt list, your cutoff list?
We do. This last month, we probably did like 20 door hangs, and maybe one or two disconnects.
And you know, we treat the utilities pretty. We treat them like a business in that sense, and those security deposits are a way to offset some of that. It has nothing to do with inside borough or outside borough. We do it to any new customer that walks in the door wherever they live and hook into one of the utility systems as a bit of an offset if somebody happens to not pay their bill. And again, it has nothing really to do with whether they're a, you know, service area one resident or service area two. It has to do with a utility customer more so than anything. Did I say that, Joe and Carl, Jody?
I'd just like to reiterate that the Power and Light Enterprise Fund has always served everybody on the island outside the city limits, the old city limits, and so we have been, in a sense, borough-wide from the beginning. We treat everybody the same extension policy, same deposit policy, et cetera. So in that sense, we have fulfilled that.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. I got one other question for you. When we talked about the rate increase, and I've been getting questions on that, you had, and I didn't mean to catch you off guard here, but you had some figures of the average residential, what it would cost the average residential customer here. Do you happen to remember that off the top of your head?
I do. I happen to bring some rates because the only utility in Southeast that was kind of giving us a run for our money rate-wise was Wrangell. And they just, as of the 1st of July, processed a 7% increase across the board. So now we are beneath them. We are, as near as I can tell, we have the lowest rates in Alaska. For the average customer, depends on what you call average. Let's just take 1,000 kilowatt hours, being kind of in the middle. For a residential customer, 1,000 hours would cost $108.90. In Wrangell, that same amount of power is $117.20. So is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah. What's the marginal difference in cost if we approve which we have already, the increase in rates?
The
difference, you had some figures on that. I don't remember what they were offhand.
I'd like to back up a little bit, if I may. This whole process, you know, has taken a long time. And one of the reasons that it's taken a long time is because we not only had to come up with some additional revenue, but we also had to redesign the rates. Number one, that they didn't encourage large users of power. that we simplified the rates, and that we made sure that everybody was paying their fair share, that there was no cross-subsidization between the rate classes, and so all of that took time. So what the final result is that we need, in order to get us in the black, so to speak, roughly 4% increase. And so what we chose to do was to do a 2% this year and a 2% next year. So we'll still be lagging behind somewhat this coming 12 months, and then beyond that we should be back to being in the black.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll for Ordinance 2014-19?
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that motion passes unanimously. Moving on to Resolution 2014-10, a resolution authorizing the lease of borough land at the Scow Bay Turnaround Subdivision and authorizing the execution of a lease document. At the June 2nd meeting, the Assembly unanimously passed Resolution 2014-07 that informed of the Assembly's intent to lease approximately 3,000 square feet of land at the Scow Bay Turnaround to Stephen Berry to be used for commercial marine vessel services for boat repair and refinishing. The land had been assessed and surveyed and the lease document prepared. Resolution 2014-10 will approve lease of the land for a 5-year period at an annual rental rate of $1,290 plus property taxes. Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Nancy Strand moved and Jay Stanton Greger seconded that this resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And that resolution passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda is communications. Does anybody have any communications to report? Moving on to item 16, assembly discussion items. Item A is recognitions. Does anyone have any recognitions they wish to bring forward? I have one. I would like to thank Caitlin DuRoss and Rick Mazalek for organizing the paddle battle paddle through the Narrows. I think they did a great job of arranging for the safety of the participants. They had observer boats and made sure that they were keeping count of all the participants. There was quite a bit of onshore participation, and we even had folks that met us at the dock came down to make sure that they could greet folks as they came in. And We assembly members get a bulletin that talks about what goes on in different counties around the nation, and one county, I believe it was North Carolina, is being recognized for some of their health initiatives. And I'm encouraged to see that there are a number of things like Beat the Odds and Paddle Battle that go on in our community. I think they add value to our community. So thank you both Caitlin and Rick, who unfortunately has been transferred, the Coast Guard transferred him, I believe, to the San Francisco Bay Area. But he very much enjoyed being in Petersburg and is looking forward to possibly coming back at a future time. All right. And I need a motion now to move into executive session.
So moved.
Yep. Can you say what? Yeah, no, I'll let Jane say why he's going in
there. Right here. Oh, gotcha.
To discuss.
Yeah, I moved to enter into executive session to discuss ratification of a new PMEA collective bargaining agreement. Will that do?
With the negotiating team.
With the negotiating team.
Yeah. Is there a second?
Second.
Will the clerk call a roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
And John Hogue is on his way down.
We can take a quick break.
And let's take at least a 5-minute break.